Welcome to the ATT podcast, Case File 8. What were we calling this one?
Ghost Bustin'.
Ghost Bustin'.
I think that's what you said, I think.
I don't know. Okay, I'm Braden. With me as always is...
Hello, I'm Zell.
And on the line is our Southeast Asian alien correspondent, Mr. Dan Work.
It's me.
You said his last name.
Oh, did I? Well, it's too late now.
That's too late. Now we know who you are.
We also have a live studio audience in this in the studio today, drinking beers. It is Saturday night, and that's we're gonna see how it goes. They are mic'd, so they can't hear us. Well, they can't hear Dan, but they can chime in if they want. Okay, so let's it's like watching a child work here. Okay, he's figuring it out. There we go.
He's got it.
Bravo. Okay.
All right, space news.
Space news. There's fucking no news.
There's no space. There's nothing happening in space
It's everything's dead out there. No solar flares. No comets to report. I guess you could have seen Venus and Saturn in the sky this morning, but by the time you hear this, it's too late, so it doesn't matter.
I read something about Mercury's in retrograde through one of the constellations, but
I don't know what
that
means.
That's all I know. Me either. It's going backwards in the sky.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, there's that, but not much for space news. It's kind of dead. We were going to try to have, I don't even know his name, actually.
His name on Twitter is Jason Voorhees. So
Jason Voorhees, yeah. And
Jason Voorhees.
At @cobra_la. He requested us do a paranormal podcast with ghosts, and he actually had a story for us. He sent email, and we were going to try to have him on, but it just didn't work out for this one. So he's going to try to come on another podcast. We're going to save his story, and we'll get him on another podcast to tell us everything that he knows. But we're going to get into some ghosts. Going to talk about a little bit of someone requested we talk about the Russian sleep deprivation study, and I kind of had another link I was going to share later. So to start, Dan, ghosts. What do you feel about ghosts? Are they out there or what?
Ghosts are not, I would say, not my forte. I believe one if I saw one. I've never personally had experience. I know people, from secondhand stories that I've heard about. But, it's an interesting subject, if anything.
What I always hate is the ghost stories. I always hate are when people say, they're like, oh, I just turned my head and I saw it, or I saw her, like my dead mom or something, or my dead brother. I saw them. Cause I'm always like, those are fleeting glances. And I always think that your brain can, come on, guys.
Yeah.
Come on. Our studio audience is roasting me here. But
I'm okay with poltergeists and stuff like that. I enjoy those stories, stuff like The Conjuring and those kinds of phenomenon, I think, are interesting. But yeah, I'm all for if it's like in a group, or if there's a group of people that witness it. If it's just a single person, I'm always really skeptical of those kinds of those things.
Well, for me,
it's got to be cooperation.
For me, especially with the fleeting glances where people say they saw something in they turned around and saw it in the corner of their eye and stuff.
Yeah, because that's like seeing, Jesus in a piece of toast. And I'm like, that doesn't look like Jesus.
Well, it's also, you can trick your brain, right? Your brain, there's card tricks and stuff that'll make your brain trick you because it wants to process stuff a certain way, and it'll tell you what you see when it's really not there. So, how much of that is like habitual where you're just, you're expecting that and your brain's trying to process it early, right? It's trying to get ahead of the game. And then you're like, oh, right. I thought I saw this, but that's my, whenever I hear a fleeting glance story, cause I heard a couple of them when we were talking about doing this podcast is like, oh, I used to, sit in my room and then I'd turn around and I'd see someone and I'd be like, well, you didn't really see, thought you saw someone. There's no one there.
Don't you have a story like that though?
Yes, but it's not a fleeting glance story.
It's a repeating story, isn't it?
No, this is weird. Okay, I'll tell it right now. I was going to say it for a little bit. I was probably 13, and we just moved to our house in West Kelowna, and we had really, the ceilings downstairs were really tall. And this is a big factor of this story. The ceilings were probably 10-foot ceilings in that house, pretty tall. And then the doors were very tall as well. The doors are probably 7-foot doors. And I was laying in bed one night, and I always shut my door and had it closed. And I just turned off the TV and stuff, and I was getting to bed, and the door cracked open just a little bit. And I could see someone standing at the door, and it wasn't uncommon for my dad or my brother to peek in and say something and shut the door, but just stood there. And I couldn't see because there's a stairwell light. Like, when you open my bedroom door, there was a stairwell light that kind of shone, so it was kind of making a silhouette. And I remember being like, "Dad, is that you? Like, Scott? Like, what are you doing?" And the door just shut, and I was like, "Oh, okay. Like, what the fuck? That's weird." And then the door opened back up just as I kind of laid back down. And I turned back over and just still standing there. And then it was like, I was like, "Dad, Scotty, what are you doing? And the door just shut. I was like, "Oh, that's weird." And I opened the door, like the door opened one more time. And as I was about to be like, "What the fuck are you doing?" And I realized that the figure standing in the door was like near the top of the door. And my family's short as hell, right? Like, my dad was 5'6" at the time. Like, I probably wasn't that much taller at the time. And I just remember, like, my heart sinking, like, just like, oh no, like, I don't know who this is. And I just sat there, and we just kind of stared at each other for a little bit, and then the door just shut. And I just jumped out of bed, like, locked the door. I was like, "Holy shit!" Grabbed my lacrosse stick, and I was banging on the roof, yelling, like, "Everybody get up!" My parents, my dad came down in his ginch, right? Like, "What the fuck's going on? What's going on?" I was like, "Right now, like, you guys, you need to level with me. Who opened my door? Who's opening my door? Like, I'm really freaked out. Tell me right now." And like, everyone was like, "No." Like, my mom started freaking out, my dad was roaming the house checking for locked doors and stuff, but like, it really freaked me out for a long time. And like, I don't know, you know, it could have been a ghost, or could have been, I don't know, but I'm more leaning to an intruder, but all the doors were unlocked, or all the doors were locked at the time, so it's kind of weird. But it definitely shook me out. Like, even thinking about it now, I kind of like, whew, like, it creeped me out back just then,
thinking about that kind of stuff.
And I was a kid, right? Like, so it that shit really freaked me out back then. That's like my only real, my true, like, a time where I was like, something happened. I couldn't explain it. And it really freaked me the fuck out.
Did it ever happen again?
No, never again. It was just that one time. But like, I mean, I think about it all the time, right? Not like a weekly basis, but you know what I mean? Like, it always kind of comes up, like, kind of reliving it right now. I'm going to have nightmares now tonight.
Yeah, I might have nightmares too.
It's fucking terrifying. The only other time is we were having a barbecue, and the smoke alarm downstairs went off, and our barbecue's on the deck on the top floor. So me and my brother went downstairs, and we're looking at the smoke alarm, and you can't reach it because the roof's so tall. And then he turns to me and goes, "Man, it's probably ghosts." And as soon as he said ghosts, the fire alarm just stopped, and we both ran upstairs screaming. But like, that's like, those are the only personal ghost experiences I have. Like, one is funny, and one is like I couldn't explain it. I don't know what it was, but like, it was someone tall. I couldn't even make out if it was a man or anything. It was just a silhouette. Like, I could see a chunk of mass at the door. Like, the door is never open enough that I could see a silhouette of a man or anything. It was just like, I could see something was blocking the opening of the door. Like, that's it. I don't really know anyone who has ghost experiences. Was someone just
knocked? It could be a ghost. Wait, or
I just heard a ghost
be,
in here.
Shadow people. That's a repeated phenomenon I've been hearing about. Shadow people. Have you guys heard those?
Is that the guys that are like, they're dark shapes, but they're kind of shaped like stick figures almost?
Yeah, like they're you know, thin-limbed figures, and they kind of move around rooms. I've heard some creepy stories about shadow people.
Man, I've actually seen a video of a shadow person like that, and it looks like a giant stick figure. And it was like, there's this place in Russia, and it was like the street cam, and the silhouette of the light on the building. It looked like this guy, this long stick figure guy, just like kind of like doing this weird like deep. If only you could see what I'm doing right now.
You know what? It's going to be our Twitter's first find. Is we're going to film Zelly doing his stickman.
Anyway, yeah, I've seen the stickman before.
You should bring that to the dance floor.
I'm going to tonight, probably.
Yeah, it's that was good. But like, Dan, you're in the ghost capital of the world there. What do you think? In Thailand, man.
In Thailand? They
fucking ghosts are a way of life there.
That's true. I mean, they take a lot of precaution against ghosts here. It's a serious thing. But you know, everything needs to be blessed by a monk. Everything's got to be positioned just right so you don't get ghosts. You know, they accept them here. It's just part of the culture. You know, it's not something that if you saw a ghost, if you tell a Thai person, like, they freak out. Like, they'd be like, well, we got to call a monk right now.
Yeah, they're
get them over here.
Yeah, they're serious about it. It's pretty interesting over there. Did you ever go to the forensic museum there, Dan?
No, I didn't go. I remember you telling me about it, but you know, I haven't got the chance to go.
If anyone here listens and is going to Thailand or has been to Thailand, there's a place called the Forensic Museum, and of any place I've ever been on Earth, that's a place where you go into and you're just like, this is just a bad place. Like, you just get such a bad feeling there.
It's haunted?
Yeah. Like, I didn't see anything haunted, but they have just, like, they have a guy who used to eat kids in Thailand, and his body's preserved and standing, so you can go and stand eye to eye with him, and, like, it's fucked up, man.
Like, it's his real body, not, like, a wax figure.
No, his real body.
Yeah, it's preserved in there. They still use him. I forgot. Jeez, I can't remember his name, but they still use him. He's like their boogeyman for little kids.
I want to say his name's like Soy Ka.
He was like kidnapping kids, and he would eat like their kidneys, like or parts of them. Like, he'd eat their body parts. Pretty sure like in organs and whatnot. But they still use him. The kids in my class, like they still in my classes, they're 16, 17, and they know about him. They all like, oh yeah. You know, my parents used to tell me if I was a bad kid, he would come and kidnap me at night. You know, or could they keep his body in there?
Yeah, it's funny because we don't really have anything like that in the West where they're like, you know, if you don't do good, this guy's gonna come and kill you. There's no thing to scare kids like that.
Pretty sinister, I guess.
Yeah, that's a weird thing to do to children.
Dan, do you have any ghost story? Do you have any personal experience?
No, I think he said he doesn't.
Nothing at all?
No, I don't got anything personal. I mean, the only thing I have is my uncle is kind of into ghost hunting or whatever. I guess he lives in Michigan, and they go to certain buildings that have historical significance or something like that, like abandoned buildings that are said to be are reported to be haunted.
Your uncle does this?
Yeah, he's done it a couple times. He's an amateur. He's not like he's not, you know. He's done it a couple times, and I think he has one of those little. I'm pretty sure he's pretty into it. He's got one of those little EVP like electrical EVP meters, whatever, I forgot what they're called, but you know, the EM meter, basically
EMF
measures
meter.
Electromagnetic fields or whatever.
Yeah.
I guess. And that's supposed to
the ghosts are supposed to give off that type of frequency or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. So he goes around with that sometimes.
Listen.
And, you know, they go to buildings. He said they've seen stuff, or like they've seen like they'll put a ball somewhere.
Why are you on the podcast right now, Dan? Why isn't your uncle here?
Yeah, call your uncle.
Get your uncle on the line, man. Like, we want the Ghostbuster on here.
I bet he can barely work Skype, though. I mean, he does that easy stuff, but I can barely get him to work Skype.
Let's get him in studio. Let's tell him there's a bunch of ghosts up here, and we want him on.
I'll have to talk to him. I'll see if I can get him.
Oh, man, that'd be awesome. See if you can. I would love to have him on, man. That'd be cool. Because then he could tell us like the most haunted places he's been. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, I'll give him a shout. I'll see if I can get him on. That'd be pretty fun. I think that'd be cool.
Yeah, man. How does one get into that, really? Like, do you just watch the shows and you're like, you know what?
I think he ordered a kit or something. Like, he spent money on it. Like, you can order this stuff off the internet. I'm sure it's somewhere. Ghost hunting kit or something. I don't know.
I wonder how much that EMF is.
I don't know how much those do cost. I think there's different levels of one. But, I mean, even those electromagnetic fields could be given off by anything. It could be a solar flare, you know, whatever, solar radiation just going through. And you're like, oh, it's picking up whatever. Because it's not like it's a specific – I don't believe there's like a specific frequency for this is a ghost.
I used to have an app called Ghost Tracker. And it just always said there was ghosts around you, like all the time. And I used to turn it on. It just has the radar, like a kind of just circles, right? And it goes beep, beep, beep. And then they just start popping up everywhere, like after like 10 seconds. So I don't know its credibility, but Ghost Tracker app on, you know, you can get it on your phone. That's my most reliable source.
I think you kind of have to, I guess, define like what is a ghost. It's like, I don't think anybody really knows like what there. I mean, I know there are different types of like apparitions, versus poltergeists. Yeah. And you kind of like, what is a ghost? Is it a dead person? Is it a manifestation of an emotion or what?
You ever, Dan, just switch it up here. One of our live studio audience showed us a picture of something. You ever use a Ouija board?
I've never. Yeah. I mean, I don't believe much in ghosts, but you can't get me to fuck with one of those.
Yeah. Isn't that weird?
That juju you all the time. I've never heard good stories about people with Ouija boards.
It's weird because me and my brother had a little one we got one time, and my mom burned it. Like, she was so freaked out, she burned it.
No, ooh, you're not. I thought you weren't supposed to do that. That was like one of the big no-nos I heard.
Yeah, I think that's the worst thing to do.
Is that around the time of your?
Oh, I don't know, man. Maybe it is.
You know what we got to do? We got to get a Ouija board.
Why didn't we get a Ouija board?
We got to get a Ouija board and we got to try it.
Yeah. Live studio audience.
Studio audience is shrugging their heads.
They're like,
nope,
they want no part of it.
No part of Ouija boards.
Can you still get them at Toys R Us?
I want a legit Ouija board.
I don't know.
What's a legit Ouija board? Like made from the bones of.
I'm going to make one. I'm going to make a Ouija board.
The legit one's made by Hasbro, right? That's the real one. I don't want any of these knockoff ones.
No, we're going to have to go to a graveyard. We're going to have to dig up some bones. We're going to have to grind them up, mix them with the wood.
Sprinkle.
Mix them with the wood, make our own Ouija board, and then try it. See what happens.
You know what? To be honest, though, I think there is kind of like when people use it, it's like a collective consciousness that you all kind of like.
You
when
want
you
it
ask
to happen.
These questions, you want it right. to happen. And like no one really pushes it, but you all kind of push it together. Like you're all just like,
See, that's what I think. I'm a big believer that sometimes people will see what they want to see. And then, you know, the human brain can do a lot of weird stuff. You know, tricks with, like you were already saying, that it plays tricks on you sometimes just because of the way that things are. And I think when you get a group of people together in a place that already kind of has that kind of weird aura about it or you know, there's strange stuff about it, that people's brains will just play tricks on them that they want to believe so bad that it affects the area around them. Like if you get enough people in one area, I think that happens.
Yeah, like, I agree with that too. Studio would be a good place to do it here because this has got a weird aura in here all the time.
So it's got a weird smell.
Yeah, that too. And it's like either ungodly hot or ungodly cold.
Right, so now it smells like straight, what's it called? Mary Brown's Chicken and Taters.
Yeah, shout out to Mary Brown's
Chicken and Taters.
Some of our live studio audience brought it in. It's delicious.
This is actually really good.
If there's one where you live, try it out.
It's
good. Oh, and sponsored by Octavia Vodka.
Did they send us another bottle?
Well, we have two, so we had to give two shout outs, right?
Right. All right,
I can't remember the tagline of it. But Ouija board is definitely on the list. If you're listening, any of our listeners have any weird Ouija board stories or any tips of how we can use a Ouija board to its full potential, email us or let us know on Twitter. Because
I've never tried one, and I would try it.
I'm gonna give it a try. Why not? I'm impartial. I don't really think it does anything, so I'm okay to try it. I would love for just be freaked out by it.
Yeah, me too, actually, more than anything.
Let's contact the spirit realm. Can we get...
I'm totally down with you guys doing it because if you do open a portal to hell, I'm all the way over here and I'll be fine.
Yeah, you're safe over there.
Is that old woman from the Poltergeist available? Can we hire her to come in and...
Is she still alive? I don't know if she's still alive.
From the movie The Poltergeist?
Yeah, do you remember like the old woman who's like screaming?
The old little lady.
Yeah, she screams in it. When they're going into,
she gets trapped in the TV and shit, right?
No, that's the little boy gets in the TV.
That's the little girl gets trapped. She gets,
yeah. It's been a long time since I've seen that movie, but I'm not down with.
She's like, they bring in she's a paranormal, or she's a medium or whatever. She's a medium.
This will, like, talking about ghosts and stuff, like porcelain dolls, no. Like, no, they don't belong in your
house.
Oh,
those are creepy, yeah.
Holy fuck. They look at you, man. Those shit, they're live. That's insane. Like, there's no way.
Doll eyes.
They capture the souls of the the left and just sit there. They're the spookiest thing by far. There's no way. If you have a porcelain doll collection, you're fucked. Holy fuck. It's fucking, man, those are spooky. I definitely, okay, so we're kind of getting off the topic of ghosts.
Okay, back on the ghosts. I have a ghost story.
All right.
It's not like, it's actually a repeating ghost story. At my girlfriend's house, when I first met her, it started with this giant cat, and it would always be in her room and always jump on the bed, and it'd be super annoying, so you'd kick it out and close the door, blah, blah, blah. And then one night you'd be on the bed, and it felt like the cat jumped on the bed, and that kind of like sat down, but it felt like really heavy. So you get up, you turn on the light, the cat's not in the room. So like felt like someone would sit on the bed and just sit there, and then they would get up. And we thought it was the cat at first, but then we realized the cat wasn't in the room. And this would happen like often. You'd be on the bed, like going to sleep, and you feel like just like someone would sit on the end of the bed, and it would sink down for about 10 seconds, and then it would just get up, and it would be gone. And this happened like quite a few times. Nothing ever moved. Only thing was the bed. Like, just felt like someone sat on
the
bed.
Jason Voorhees, his email. He's got a really good one like that too.
Should we tell her or should we wait?
No. I want him to come online and tell us. Okay. But our live studio audience, one of our guests has a story. So Andrew, why don't you come close to the mic here and let's hear it.
Yeah, we'll take a second here. We'll get him set up and we'll be right back.
He's a paramedic, and due to the nature of his story, dealing with the call, we can't give out his name. So from here on, we'll refer to him as Ahab the Arab. Ahab the Arab, welcome to the show. Let's hear your story.
Thank you. So, you know,
you didn't say long-time listener, first-time caller.
I've honestly never listened, so. I'm not going to lie here.
First-time caller, though.
Yeah, first-time caller. Basically, you know, with the nature of the job being a paramedic, you deal with a lot of dead people, unfortunately. And throughout that whole time, I've never had a ghost experience. Never really had anything like that happen. And even growing up, I've never had a ghost experience. My mom has, my brother has, my sister has. Everybody used to say our old house was haunted. I never once had an experience. But what I did experience probably about 2 years ago now, we were doing a call. I used to work in this little rural area called Caramillas. There's a really big reserve out there, right? So we do, you know, your frequent reserve calls, a lot of fights, a lot of assaults, a lot of drugs, you know, just, you know, a lot of sketchy stuff. And this one night we got called out for an assault, right? Didn't think much of it. It was about 4 a.m. So we head out to the reserve. It's kind of a creepy night, right? It's pitch black. This is around, I believe it was December, let's say somewhere between December 10th, December 15th. Heading out, snow everywhere. Everything's pretty dicey, so we have to go pretty slow. Pull up to this house. There's probably about 3 or 4 cop cars. And for there to be 3 or 4 cop cars out in this little tiny, you know, rural town in this reserve, there's usually not even 2 cop cars in that town, right?
Yeah.
So you know something's kind of up. We get there, cop greets us at the door, and you can tell he's stressed out. He's a little, you know, he comes out and he's like, okay, so we have this, you know, we have this 62-year-old female who woke her son and his wife up in the middle of the night holding a knife and was threatening to, you know, kill herself and kill them, right? So obviously they were a little panicked. They called the cops. They called us. We showed up, right? You know what I mean? She's not threatening anybody any harm or anything like that now. So, you know, we thought it would be okay for you guys to transport her to the hospital. She obviously needs some help. So, you know, 62-year-old lady, right? I'm not too concerned. I can handle this. No big deal. Super pleasant lady. You know, everything's fine. Get her back talking to her. Get her sit back in the ambulance. I ask her, like, you think we're going to have any issues here? Or, you know, or are you wanting to come to the hospital? She wants to come to the hospital. Great. Load her up. You know, start going. We're about 20 minutes down the road. And I'm the attendant. So I'm the paramedic working in the back while my partner's in the front driving, right? So I'm sitting here. I'm doing a set of vitals on the lady. I'm talking to her. And mid-conversation, She just goes completely quiet and limp. Okay? You know, so I already took a set of vitals. All her vitals check out. Everything's fine. Right? So my first thought is, because I've, you know, seen a lot of shit, I'm like, okay, maybe this chick had, maybe she had a jammer. I don't, you know what I mean? So I go.
What's a jammer real quick?
Sorry, heart attack. Heart attack. Right? Okay. So, you know, maybe she had a heart attack. You know, you don't know. So I'm like, whoa, pull over, pull over. Yell at my partner to pull over. I jump up. Go to do a pulse check. She's wearing a big jacket, so I had to unbuckle her restraints. Open up her jacket. Put my fingers on her carotid to check if she's got a pulse. Sit there for about 15 seconds and not one heartbeat. Right? So I'm like, oh, okay, shit. I yell at my partner. I'm like, I'm going to need you to come back here. I think she arrested. Rested, right? Her heart stopped beating.
Yeah.
Okay, so my partner jumps out. All of a sudden, she throws herself right up out of the bed, stands right up, and starts speaking in this, like, crazy tongue like I've never heard before. Like, we're talking, there's no way this is a language, right? And I'm a fucking coward. So I'm, you know, as soon as she jumped up, I'm like, fuck, whoa, shit, right? Like, I hop back. My partner opens up the doors, and she fucking beelines it straight out the back of the fucking ambulance. Okay, and we're talking, this is like in the middle, this is at this point in time, it's about 4:30 a.m., pitch black, in the middle of winter, right? Canadian winter, right? So God only knows how cold is out there, right? And the only way for her to go is down the street or down a giant embankment, right? So I'm like, oh shit, you know, like we're in charge of this woman. We need to make sure she's going to be okay. We hop out. And as soon as I get out of the ambulance, all you do is see her running and sliding down the giant embankment.
Right? Jump down just the bank?
Jump down the embankment, takes off, fucking gone. Like, we're chasing after her. We got our flashlights. Look for her for about 25 minutes. Nothing. Call the cops. They come. They end up calling in the police dog, right? Police dog comes out, looks for about an hour. Nothing. They end up calling search and rescue. Search and rescue comes. We look until morning. No sight of this lady. Middle of the winter, there's a gigantic lake right ahead of us, like, just, you know what I mean? Like, you couldn't, no idea what happened to Slade. We assume that she fell in the lake. We don't know, right? If she would have fell in the lake, she would have froze to death. Okay? We're sitting around 8:39 the next day, in the morning. Cop comes up to me and he's like, you're never going to believe it. Like, what? He goes, they found her. I'm like, oh, okay. Where did they find her? Back at her house in her bed.
How far was that?
It was a 20-minute drive, so probably at least hour to an hour and a half walk.
Jesus.
We're talking like 20, 30K.
We're talking about 20, 30K in the middle of the winter, right? This woman was wearing a nightie, right?
Oh, dude. Just a fucking witch just shrieking through the woods, witch. Man.
And she wasn't suffering from any, like, cold, like, exposure or anything like that? She was just in her bed, dry as a bone, just sleeping or dead or what?
She got up and made her family breakfast. Nothing. Zero complaints. Nothing wrong. No injuries. She slid down a, you know, 60-foot embankment of rocks.
Yeah.
Does she remember that?
Nothing.
Oh, that's fucked up.
Like, nothing.
So as a medical professional, what do you think?
Honestly, I was, you know, you watch all the demonic possession, you know, movies and all that stuff like that.
Yeah.
And you, like, I've been in the back with some whack jobs and you're like, you know, they're talking about Satan and how they want to kill themselves and everything like that. And you honestly, this person's mentally ill. You know, it doesn't, I don't believe in God. I don't believe in the devil. And that stuff doesn't mean anything to me. But this incident has, the look in that woman's eyes and just the way she was speaking, I've never seen anything like that, man. Honestly, sitting here talking to you, I have like a shiver.
I know, it's fucking, I couldn't even imagine, man. I'd probably just pass out if she woke, pulled the old Undertaker routine, sat up out of the cart. Fucked it. That's it. Submit.
I'm like, I got my hand on her carotid, listening to her heart. I'm trying to listen to her breath sounds, right? So I'm right up by her face. And she just shot up. Like, I peed a little.
Now, okay, so you would have seen her house and stuff. I got a couple of questions here. Could you maybe make the stretch that she was into, you know, drugs maybe? Like, what was her living arrangements like? Was there a chance that maybe she was into something like that that could have been causing us.
Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
Nice.
That's true.
Nice. You know what? That's a fair assumption. With our routine vitals and stuff like that with a psych patient, a lot of the time we will take a look, you know, like at their arms for track marks and stuff like that.
Yeah.
We'll talk to the family. Like, does this person have a history, right? Do they have a history of drug abuse? This is a 62-year-old woman.
Yeah.
Right?
62?
She could have been into her meds. She could have took a little too many, but what could she have possibly taken to do this? You know what I mean? Like,
you would have to think she had to take something that did that to her, because if it was something where she was off something for too long, she wouldn't have just went home and been like, oh, it's all good. Let's fucking bacon eggs. Everyone, bacon eggs? Huh?
Not a mark on her.
Yeah, it's fine.
And we're talking she was lost in the wilderness.
I don't get the no injuries, no nothing, no indication of exposure of any kind. She's running out in the middle of the winter in a nighty, he said, and she's just not a single mark. Nothing. And she slid down that embankment.
Let me tell you though, I'm not going to say any names, but I've heard that women in menopause and stuff get pretty hot.
pretty hot.
They get pretty hot, pretty irritable. That's all I've heard. Pretty hot, pretty irritable. So
62, there's a good chance you're past menopause.
Yeah, but you know, there's always a chance it's coming late, right? Yeah. Some of us are late bloomers.
Yeah, I don't know.
Is that a late bloomer?
I don't know. But that's
fucked. Like a superpower, like her hot flash, activate. And then she just like self-heats herself. Like,
storming through the snow.
Dan's losing it. Dan's losing it.
Losing it. I'm just picturing her like stepping through the snow and it like melting around her feet. And she's like.
It's like Iron Man 3
blazing red eyes, just like running through the snow, pumping arms.
She could have potentially been possessed by the Dark Phoenix.
Yelling in tongues through the forest.
Or she's possessed by some demon that's like, I need to get back and make my family breakfast.
That's the demon's only thought.
I gotta be with my family. That's fucked up. That's funny, man. That after the show, I'm gonna talk to you about another topic that I want to do in another podcast that I thought of. You're the perfect one to get on it. We'll talk about it after the podcast, though. A couple other things people want us to talk about. Dan, did I watch the Russian sleep deprivation video with you?
I don't think so. You've either mentioned it or I've heard about it, but I don't think we watched it.
Okay, so I'll summarize. Okay, so first and foremost, I'm going to say my thoughts on this are, it is like, if you haven't heard of the Russian sleep deprivation study or seen the video, it's bone chilling. Like, read it, watch it. It is like, you're going to watch the whole thing because it's insane. However, what kills it for me that makes it just me not believe it is the last minute. So I'm going to summarize it for you real quick. Basically what it says is Russian scientists were messing around with kind of new chemicals, and it was keeping people up, and they want to see what it did. And so they locked these people in these chambers, willing participants in these chambers, and they turned this gas on. And after 72 hours, they started going crazy. They were screaming. They were freaking out. But as part of the study, they were not to have any contact with the outside. They had books to read. They had stuff to do in there. And they kept this gas running. And then eventually what happens is the screaming stops. And these people that are in this chamber cover up all the windows with ripped books. So they can't see anything. And now they go silent for days, days and days. There's just nothing coming out of this chamber. So now the scientists doing this study start trying to provoke them to see what's going to, like, to try to get responses of them. And they can't, no one's responding. They can see on their monitors and stuff that vitals are still good. And then vitals drop on one person. And so they're like, okay, we don't know what's going on. They cut the gas and they enter the chamber, and all these people in there, I think it says there's five or six, they've just mutilated themselves. They've chewed their fingers to the bone. They've carved off their eyelids. They've bit off their lips. They've ripped their intestines out. They're standing in, like, they've plugged all the drains, and they're standing in like ankle deeps of blood. There's feces everywhere. And they're all just sitting there like just really fucked up. And They can't get them off. They can't get them out of there. They won't come. They're all pleading to put the gas back on. Like, they're just pleading and pleading with these scientists. Put the gas back on. Put the gas back on. We need the gas. We're going to die. As soon as they cut the gas and stuff, one flatlines. They can't get them back up. So what happens is everyone's so freaked out about what's going on. The army behind them shuts the scientists in the chamber with these people. And, like, it's honestly, it's a 15-minute video, and it's fucked up. Like, when you, like, listen to it and listen to the accounts, it's, like, I'm like, oh, you've got me. I'm sold on this. This is insane. And then the fucking, it ends with this. Somehow, whoever wrote this report is back in the room with these scientists. Everyone dies at the end of this. But somehow, they find out that the last thing, one of the scientists says to one of the guys before he dies, like, what are you? And he's like, I am all of us in the darkness where our mind goes when we are not awake. And I was just like, oh, it's so fucking fake. As soon as that happens, I was just like, it's such bull. Like, it's a fucking wicked story. And if you haven't heard it or listened to it, go listen to it. Tell me your opinion. But yeah. I 100% think it's fucking fake as hell. Someone just wrote a wicked story.
Yeah, that's a fun, creepy story. I mean, that's a, you know, that's all right.
Like,
only but I know,
they're only
I mean,
72
sleep
hours?
Deprivation. People have been messing around with that for, you know, at least for, you know, decades.
Yeah.
Sleep deprivation stuff isn't new. And I would, yeah, I would totally be on board that weird stuff happens, like, after if you stay awake, because your body needs sleep.
They say you're clinically insane after 72 hours awake.
Yeah, I think I've heard that too. And I would be like, yeah, that's right, because you if you don't go to sleep, like, your brain just would, you know, it can, you know, I've heard that sleep is the time where, you know, your brain turns off and it that's the time that it needs to rest, that it needs to organize all your thoughts from that day and whatever the past hours that you've been awake. And then if you don't get that time, I would feel like, yeah, you would start going crazy because your brain would stop, you know, processing the information that separates reality and then dream time, you know, and you would start. Yeah, I think you would go pretty crazy.
Yeah, I think so too. But there is a guy. What's his name? I'm gonna pull up here. It's he's a Vietnamese guy, and claims he hasn't slept for over 40 years.
Whoa.
I don't know what the story is. His name is Thai. I don't know if I'm gonna pronounce this right.
I think I've heard that
Thai Ngoc, a Vietnamese farmer. No. So he's been awake for over 40 years.
I don't believe that for a second. I bet you hang out with that guy for 24 hours, he's asleep for 12. 100%. Like, I've been to Vietnam. They, you know, Southeast Asia, they like their taking breaks. And
like their sleep.
They like their sleep, yeah.
Well, what does he do all day? I mean, he must be one hell of a farmer. What is the fuck? What does he do when everybody's sleeping? He just sits there.
Keeps planting that rice, man. Keeps planting the rice.
He just farms 24/7. He never gives
up. Just a hard worker. But
you know what? There's a picture of him here. He looks like he hasn't slept in 40 years.
Okay, I used to read that, so, like, everyone, like, scientists and stuff, still don't really know why we sleep. Like, is there a main theory? Like, I can understand, like, I'm fucking tired. I want to sleep. But, like, is there, like,
I'm pretty sure there's some good scientific back into why we sleep.
Like, you get, I mean, there's a lot, sleep is a cool subject because I was reading a couple articles about, how much sleep you actually need, like what is the minimum amount of sleep that you can have to be refreshed or to feel, you know, good in the morning. And a lot of one of the articles that was interesting was saying that basically humans, the modern human evolved like 10,000 years ago, you in caveman days, basically we slept on a schedule where we would only sleep. We'd sleep for 8 hours, but it would be 4 hours in the evening, right? 4 hours in the evening and then 4 hours like kind of in the afternoon. And that's normally what people would sleep. And now with the invention of the light and like artificial light, we've changed our sleeping habits basically. And some people say it's worse for us. It's not the way it should be.
Well, I say to those people, I'm living way longer than caveman. So
yeah, but why would you want to sleep? Why would you want to be awake during the night if you're like, especially as a caveman, you can't really see or do anything like that?
Get turned.
Right? I think it was like people would, right there, I don't know, if you had fire, I guess you could do stuff. But yeah, if you wanted to be awake at night, I mean, that would keep you, or you'd be awake in the prime time when like nocturnal predators are running around. I think you'd want to be aware of that. I think that would be the time to be awake.
We have a medical professional here, so let's hear. Oh no, he's
it has nothing to do with medical. I just
let's hear your. Let's
I,
hear
I
your
just
thoughts.
Disagree. That doesn't make sense to me. Whereas artificial light would be making it so we could stay awake longer in the night.
Yeah, like we're making ourselves like we've changed the way, like us as a species have.
Yeah, but
deal with sleep.
Well, but that wouldn't change the fact, like having those separate like 4 hours in the day and 4 hours in the night. With before artificial light, we would have to sleep the whole night through, anyways.
Yeah,
right. That doesn't make sense.
I'm a big believer that this humans in general are just really adaptable to whatever you do. If you do it enough, your body just adapts to what your schedule is. If you sleep 4 hours and 4 hours, or you sleep 8 hours and you're up for 16 hours, I'm sure if you really dug into it, people have been successful doing either way.
Well, it's a proven fact that people like
to sleep
shift workers and stuff like that, people who don't get a full night's sleep during the night live shorter than people that do. Like, that's proven. That affects your lifespan.
Yeah, but, you know, lots of people I do that do those night shifts and stuff, they're the kind of lifestyle they live. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, a lot of them. I'm not saying anyone in particular, but
I'm the healthiest guy in this room. So
yeah,
I'm
not saying you. That's why I wasn't pointing at you,
Mr. Mary Brown's.
Mr. Mary Brown's.
Hey, it's cheat day.
Mary Brown's
it's cheat day. It's cheat day. Everybody.
Every day is cheat day.
It's cheat day.
So the only other thing I had to bring up is this. I kind of wanted to bring it up because someone on Twitter mentioned the Russian sleep deprivation, which again, great story. I don't believe for a second it's true. If you have some other evidence that would point me otherwise, send it to me. Try to prove it. I'm gonna fucking just. I'm gonna
You're gonna
do
butcher
this.
It?
I'm gonna butcher this title. The Dyatlov Pass incident happened in Russia.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah,
I love that one.
Yeah.
Dilatov Pass. That's a good one.
So, basically, what happens is, and now this is fact. You can look this up. These people went.
Yeah.
Out
yeah.
hiking. And something fucked up happened, and no one knows what.
Oh.
So basically what happened is these Russian hikers, I think, I don't have the numbers in front of me. I'm just going to summarize it because I read it earlier. I've known about it for a long time. These 10 hikers, I'm going to say 10. I think it's about 10, maybe a little less. They go out into the Russian wilderness, essentially, and they've told people where they're going and where they're going to be and at what checkpoints they're going to check in at, and they take off and basically they miss their first checkpoint. They don't check in. No one knows where they are. So they send a search party out, and when they finally track down these hikers, they are fucking mutilated. Some of them have been hit so hard that they've crushed ribs. They have defensive wounds on their body. One chick was missing a tongue. They found their base camp. They all walked through the snow with no shoes, no jackets. They had all that stuff. They were like experienced mountaineering and stuff. And they just left everything from their camp and just took off into the woods wearing nothing. Some of them were naked. The investigation stated that their tent was cut open from the inside. So they were in their tent and they took off. There was high levels of radioactivity on their clothing and stuff. And like nobody knows what the fuck happened, and that is such a like. People weren't allowed to hike there for 5 years after this incident. 5 years, they wouldn't let anyone go there.
I've heard of this. Yeah, it was 9 hikers.
9 hikers. Well, that was pretty close. One off.
So yeah, it was.
Yeah, it's 9 hikers, and they were, like Brayden said, they were experienced hikers. These people were they're all university students, I believe, and they were like cream of the crop. They were physically fit. They were like poster. They were poster kids for the Soviet Union. These 9 hikers, like they were. There's no way that something crazy like this was happening. So the high levels of radioactivity. One of them, I think, had like strange burns on their back, like strange patterned burns.
Yeah, there was
one of them.
Many of them had injuries to their right and left fists, as if they'd been in a fist fight. 2 victims had fractured skulls and broken ribs. One of the fractured skulls was so severe it was determined he would not have been able to move, and he was away from camp. One of the women's tongue was missing. It was determined that an unknown compelling force had caused the deaths.
Wasn't this like
nine people's a fucking lot.
Yeah, wasn't this like a Bigfoot or a Yeti story?
Yeah,
that's one of the theories.
Some people think it's Bigfoot or Yeti. Some people think they mutilated themselves, but they didn't have soft tissue damage, which was the weirdest thing. They had all these broken bones with no soft tissue. Some of their ribs are broken with no soft tissue damage.
What do you like? No bruising. No.
No bruising. Like it. So it was like they. It's insane. It's mind blowing.
I don't know about that.
That does not.
Just the fact that they fled their camp. They just fled in barefoot in heavy snow in the middle of winter. Just like ripped their tent open and ran away and were all killed. Is fucking crazy.
Not a survivor.
It's one of the. It's one of like the best investigated kind of cases. It was one of the few things that made it out of the Soviet Union. Kind of unpropagandized or whatever. That was one of the during the Cold War. Yeah. Some people were saying it might have been a secret test, like a testing site, or they ran across something they weren't supposed to see, or maybe there was like a Soviet weapons testing site facility in the area. In you know, so there's a lot of theories that kind of float around. I don't think it's ever been. It's legitimately, I'm pretty sure, unsolved. Like there's no solid conclusion as to what happened.
Like when you read about it, like no one really knows what the fuck happened. Like there is no leading theory. There is a bunch of theories, avalanche and stuff, but you know that doesn't stick with me because it's like, why is their tent ripped from the inside? Why aren't they buried in snow? Like it doesn't understand. Like it's just such a fucking weird thing. Like one's missing a fucking tongue. Like of all the things, like just bit off your tongue or.
I think that's definitely one thing you can make a whole podcast out. There's a lot of information about it. But it's real cool. I think it's a real neat subject about all the stuff that they have, the amount of evidence that they have. There's a lot, and there's a lot of theories you could take from it.
So it has probably nothing to do with the supernatural, but maybe something else.
Well, it's just unknown, right? So I kind of went onto this because I heard the Russian sleep deprivation and we're talking about the paranormal and I was like, well, you know, this kind of fits. This is more of the kind of the stuff I like because it's in like there's facts around it. There's hard facts that you can look up that are true that are surrounded in this. Whereas like you're like, oh, this, you know, I saw a ghost. I don't really know what happened.
Well, you know what we'll do? Let's put on Twitter because there's some good ghost videos out there. Let's throw them on. If people haven't seen them, they can take a look. There's tons of them. It's just hard to really believe because
I'm just so bred to believe that anything I see on the internet is just so like any video. I'm like, oh, edited, right? Like when we finally get into Bigfoot, like we'll talk about the Bigfoot video, like the famous one, and all that stuff. But
yeah, there's cool CCTV videos online that are just like there's one of a guy in Blockbuster, like somewhere in Mexico, and he's just doing his thing, he's putting back the DVDs, and all of a sudden he goes to the next row, and then like one falls, and he goes back. He's like, "Oh, what the fuck? That was weird." And he puts it back up. He goes around, the same one falls again. He's like, "Oh, what the fuck?" Puts it up, comes back, two more different ones falls. As he's putting those ones up, like other ones falls in like other rows, and like, you know, it's pretty cool to be able to replicate that just with strings, like someone pulling the strings, which would be like the only way to really do it, like fishing line or something.
It's just such a hard one for me to believe.
Like, no, maybe it is. No, it's a cool way to think about it. I watched that video or the movie.
Interstellar.
Interstellar.
Someone's trying to send us messages.
It's just like someone who's got that advanced. They're in like as gravity as a fifth dimension, and they'll be able to go back. And the only way to try, and communicate with you is like
just fuck with Blockbuster employees. Yeah.
They're trying to tell you a message, but they can't do it. So they're trying to pin you down, or they're trying to tell you something, but we can't understand because it's like an average guy. Like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, why am I stuck in my bed?
Why am I stuck? The guy's pinning me down.
My job's already bad enough. I got to pick up these fucking DVDs.
I got to throw out four times.
Netflix was behind it the whole time.
Yeah, Netflix. Yeah. What's that CEO's name?
Scaring people out of Blockbuster.
I mean, it has to be. I would believe in hauntings. Like, it's a legitimate phenomenon. Because in most states, you have to disclose whether a house has been like haunted.
What?
Like, at least with, real estate.
Is this a legit U.S. thing?
Yeah, in the U.S., you have to real estate brokers or whatever. When they're selling houses, they have to disclose whether it's haunted or not.
Well, I don't know about that one in Canada, but if someone there's any type of trauma or death in a house, you have to disclose.
Yeah. Yeah, that too. But
so if someone dies, there's like a really bad like mutilation, but maybe they don't die, they survive, but you have to disclose like that happened in the house.
There have been cases in the U.S. where families have bought a house and it turned out to be haunted, and they
sued?
I forgot how they verified it. I forgot what process they went through to verify that it was haunted, but they did get their money back. Like they got the money back that they gave to the real estate to buy it. The real estate agency had to give their money back because they didn't disclose that it was haunted.
It's so crazy that that's a thing. Like, you get your money back for that.
Right. You can, like, real estate agents have to disclose whether it's haunted or not. And
I should really
look into what the process is to getting a house.
We're fact checking that one, Dan.
I know what I believe it because like a lot of people
I understand
believe
the mutilation
and
the death
like that,
and I'm guessing that ties into people don't want to live there because there are like if my mom found out there was a murder or anything like that, there was no way she'd move into a house.
No, I wouldn't like, say maybe not for like hauntings, that. But just for like that negative stigma of like someone was killed in this room and now I'm in here. Like it just feels weird regardless of haunting or not, really.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure they're legally obligated to disclose if there's any like crime, criminal activity or any of those things. They have to declare. They have to tell you that when you're buying the property.
That's in the same. That's when you sign the papers. Is the same thing. Like, is there any leak in this house or like anything like that?
Is there any leak? Is there gas leak? Ghosts?
Electrical problems? Ghosts? Yeah, you gotta disclose that shit.
I feel like they would like a real estate, like a really greasy one, would just like glaze over it. But yeah, there's some a little bit of damage here, water damage or anything. It's also maybe haunted, but the grass looks real nice over here. Yeah.
Like, it's a really nice neighborhood.
The landscaping is top notch.
It's like the schools in this area are really good. Yeah. There is poltergeist activity, and there's a McDonald's like two blocks down that way. Excuse me, did you say it was haunted? No, what?
What?
You said that, not me. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. I don't believe in that stuff. But anyways, here's the foyer. What are we running at here, Zell?
Yeah, we're getting close.
We're getting close? Because I really have nothing else to talk about with ghosts. Actually, at this moment, anyways.
Let's go final comment on ghosts. What do you think?
I don't really believe in them. But you know what? I haven't used a Ouija board yet, so... It's up for discussion.
You know what? There's so many unexplained things that why not we don't have a consciousness that extends beyond our life and just keeps on going. Why not? I'm not saying I believe or not, but I'm saying the possibility. Why not?
I'm just saying why.
I did go to a where I went to university, there was this hospital there's an abandoned like hospital. And I went to this speaking they had, I think like the religious studies department put it on, but they had a guy in there who was like, he claimed to be a legitimate medium. He was a spirit medium. And he told us a story about it where they went to go visit it's kind of like semi-famous. It's in Southern Virginia. And this building has like a weird history. It used to be an insane asylum. Then it was a children's hospital. And then it was a regular hospital.
Dude, how do you go from insane asylum to children's hospital? Like, that's like not a good – that's the, like, oh, those poor kids.
That's the recipe for making – if there were going to be a haunted place, that would be it. And he was saying that it was haunted. He took like – they would take groups up there. And like he would walk through and do some like medium stuff, and he was saying that, there are weird stuff in there, and he would say that the way it worked, or the way that it was haunted, was that there were small entities, like there were smaller consciousnesses in there, and they were all controlled by, or they were all kept in line by one big one, right? And like the big one was like keeping those consciousnesses there and wouldn't let them go. And he was saying that's how like that place worked. It was really creepy. He said he was telling us that they went into one room that I think used to be one of the administrators or something, their office or something. And somebody, as they walked in, he did like a little thing around, like walked around the room. He's like, yeah, I feel this stuff here. And as they were walking out, he just stopped and he said – he turns around to the group and he's like, did anybody take anything? If somebody took something, put it back right now. And like a person like pulled a pen out of their pocket they had taken off the desk and like put it back. and was like, yeah. So I don't know. Some weird stuff is always. See, that was kind of the thing. All I know.
Man, I'd like to. You know what? If I wonder if there's any. I'm gonna try to look into if there's any like haunted places in Kelowna that we know of, like that are like people like. Because, you know, I've never really looked it up, but I wonder if there's anywhere in Kelowna that people are like, this place is legit haunted.
Okay, I got it. We look for these people. We find out a place. We get this Ouija board.
And we go there.
We go there, and we go portable, and we do a podcast, live Ouija board.
At the haunted place.
At the haunted place.
Oh, I don't even know if I like that, though.
We gotta do
like,
it.
I'm a non-believer, but I'm like, if something's going to happen, that's I don't want to be contacted well, any.
We'll go with, like, a bunch of people, just okay. So it's not us.
Yeah, like, so there's, like...
You gotta go with the entourage.
Yeah. Power in numbers.
Power in numbers.
Right? Ghosts don't fuck with lots of people.
Do they? Well, they fuck with nine on that one situation. Maybe it was Bigfoot or whatever, but.
Yeah,
it's tough. That doesn't happen to us.
But oh, man, that's. Yeah, okay. Let's do it. Portable podcast with a Ouija board.
Portable podcast idea number one.
Yeah.
Ouija board at a haunted place.
Yeah. This is great. No, I'm into it. And you know what? If you want us to ask questions to the ghost, get your questions out on Twitter, and who do you want us to try to contact? See, I don't know if it works where you can just contact any ghost from a haunted spot or just that ghost that haunts that spot.
I think it's that ghost.
I think you got to ask the question, like, are there any spirits here, blah, 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 and they point to yes, and they're like, oh, okay.
It's just going
to
be a podcast of just us asking a question, then shrieking. Just screams. Hey, anyone got anything else? Should we start wrapping this one up? Oh, once.
No, I don't got anything else, but
oh.
Ghosts in
okay.
general.
Someone's saying that
what's this?
Father Pandozi Mission, one of our live studio audience, said this place is haunted. So maybe that's what we do. And when should we should probably do it at like midnight.
I do it late, yeah.
On a full moon. 3 in the morning?
We're getting 3 a.m. from studio.
Hour. Okay, that's 3 in the morning. Hour. We're going to do it 3 on the morning on a full moon. Is that even better? Is the full moon come into effect?
If we're concerned about werewolves, possibly.
Okay. Well, okay. We'll do it 3. That's a hard one, though, because I got to, you know, Dan, you could probably come on because it's midday for you.
It's midday for you, yeah.
Yeah, it'll be daytime for me.
That's a
that'll
tough one.
Fine.
So that'll be a short one. It'll be half hour.
We'll have to do, yeah, we'll put a hotspot on our phone so we have internet in there and we'll get Dan on and we
sounds
will talk,
good.
To, we'll talk to ghosts.
I'd be down for.
We've got to get you on video so you can see if we die. You can be the one witness to the paranormal activity.
All right. Well, no, let's wrap it up here.
Yeah, okay. I want to thank at Cobra_Law for getting us to do ghosts. We're gonna do more. We'll eventually get on more and we'll find some bigger topics on the ghost subjects. We're gonna have Cobra Law on some point to tell us his story. Maybe we'll try to do that the same night we do the witching hour.
If we can get a good connection there, that'd be cool.
That'd be cool. Yeah. You know what? Maybe we'll pre-record his story and then, you know, go portable. Put it all together after. I got to do a couple of Twitter shout-outs.
Sure. Wait, are you sure you can do a Twitter shout-out?
Yes.
So we had Arlene.
Arlene's back. Arlene left.
She thought we didn't shout her out, so she...
She left.
She unfollowed us.
And then she found out that we did give her a shout out
and
she came back.
We beaked her a little.
Yeah, I made fun of her on Twitter and then she came back. She was like, oh, I didn't know you guys gave me a shout out. Well, I like you guys again. That's okay. We'll take whatever we can get.
Yeah, take whatever.
Nicole at Pina Colata on Twitter. You can find her on our followers. Thanks. She's messaging us all the time. So thanks, Nicole. Thanks for your support. We love you too. And, this podcast brought to you by Meteor Studios, small room, big sound, www.meteorrecording.com,
Meteor-recording.
As always, thank you to our Southeast Asian alien correspondent, Dan. Dan, thanks for being on.
Yeah.
And thanks to our special live audience guests for sitting, talking, being nice, drinking beers, and not talking about cars. This is the longest I've ever been with Dom where he had to talk about cars. Oh shit, that's funny. Okay,
I just gotta say I've been checking the SoundCloud stats and there's hundreds of people in Kelowna listening to this podcast. We have got no followers from Kelowna.
Yeah, no one from Kelowna.
Get on it.
But it might be my mom. listening that many times. Like, no fucking lie.
Wait, just like 10 times a day?
She found this one. She's been, okay, she found out that we were doing podcasts, and then she was like, you don't mention us, do you? And I was like, no, of course not. And so then I was kind of like razzing her. I was like, well, you can never listen to them. And she found this one. She found this one by searching. And then she was like, oh, I knew it was you. Because then when she was searching whatever she searched, and she saw alien theorists theorizing, she goes, that sounded like something you guys would name your podcast. So she started listening. So she's definitely listening. So hi, Mom. Love you.
Okay, I'm just going to get some quick stats out here on SoundCloud. I'm going to go top 10 cities listened. Number one is our hometown of Kelowna. We have Toronto, Canada, East Leigh, United Kingdom, Chicago, Edmonton, Spokane, Penticton, Canada, Surrey, Canada, Vancouver, Fort Lauderdale.
Fort Lauderdale, nice.
Spring break, let's go.
Yeah, whoever's listening from there, put us up.
Put us up, we'll be down there. I think, what's spring break, March?
March, yeah.
You guys can take your Ouija board down there.
The old Daytona Beach Ouija. So, Dan, as always, you got anything to plug? Dan, I believe you're on Twitter now. You want to give out that?
Yeah, I made a Twitter account just for this. I've never had Twitter, never done it. I still don't know exactly how it works.
Me either, buddy.
Yeah, we're still learning.
But yeah, it's Dan at Dan Space Oddity, I think, right?
At Space Oddity.
No, Dan Space Odyssey? Space
Dan
Odyssey.
Space Oddity.
Okay.
Odyssey's a good one too. I should have used that one.
Okay, so at Dan Space Oddity.
Right.
Okay, so there's Dan. And then I just want to give one more special thanks to everyone who uses hashtag Potter and Family. Super supportive group of podcasts. So if you see anyone on your Twitter feed using that, check out their podcast. It's a bunch of small podcasts and up and coming podcasts helping each other out, giving each other support. So it's a great community. And I think that's all we have for this week. Anything else?
I don't think so.
Okay. Keep those eyes on the skies.
Right on.